desire continued interest in your prayers this evening. Written on the board, my way or God's way? I better put a question mark. Because that is the question tonight that I would ask each one of us in the fear of God to consider the way that we have been living, the choices that we have been making, the things we have been doing, the attitudes that we have we been doing it my way or God's way? And there is a definitive answer to that question. And I would say I have found, as I sang both of those songs, the place of greatest peace and security as I have found in doing it God's way. I haven't always understood why God's way was what it was. And I haven't always understood what He had in mind, but I found that in a place of submission to God and His way, there was a place of security. And that's where the place of peace is to be found tonight. I'll tell you, doing things your way isn't all it's cracked up to be.
That's right.
How long does it take us to learn? Let me give you an example. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But I've asked my wife before, if you go out to dinner. Go somewhere, and I did it this afternoon. I was at Brother Matthew's with Sister Lucinda's, and I left, and my stomach was so full because I sat down to a good meal, and I ate too much. It seems like that after 40 years, I ought to know better. It seems like after 40 years, I ought to know if you eat too much, you're going to go away and think, oh, I ate too much. Why is it so hard for us to learn? You know, we can deal with those temporal things like that. But folks, when it comes to spiritual things, how long is it going to take us to learn that doing it God's way is the best way? We sing the song, God's way is best. Do you believe that tonight? Do you really believe that God's way is best? And I see a lot of heads nodding, but why is it then? If the Lord, and He is going home with you tonight, all right? Don't make any mistake. But why is it that so many people acknowledge that God's way is best, but why are so few people doing God's way? Why are so many people doing it my way and your way? Folks, my way never has brought true soul satisfaction. You may get your way. I'm going to go back to marriage. We've been using that in this meeting. Go back to marriage. Have you ever had a little issue with your companion? All right now. You have a little difference of opinion. You call it little difference. Call it what you want to call it. And you come to the place you think, I want my way. Did it really turn out like you wanted? Is that really what brought the happiness and peace? I have found a place of submission and humility brings peace. And you can go to bed at night and thank God for peace in your soul because you did it God's way and you humbled your heart. Folks, humbling ourselves to God means there's going to be some humbling to each other as well. We need to stop trying to do everything my way. We need to start saying, Lord, I want to do it Your way. Let's look into the Word. If you will turn with me to 1 Samuel in the 13th chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 13. Story about King Saul. You know, there was a time that King Saul was interested in doing things God's way. And he found the blessings of God. He found the anointing of the Lord in his life and on the kingdom as long as he did it God's way. But in 1 Samuel chapter 13, we'll begin reading with verse 8. And just for a little background, the Philistines once again had come against Israel. And they were gathered against Israel and the Israelites were getting scared. And they began to scatter. And they began to go hide in the caves. And King Saul is here waiting on the prophet Samuel to come. Samuel was a prophet. He was a priest. He was a judge. And he was waiting on Samuel to come to offer a sacrifice before they went into battle. And he tarried 7 days in the 8th verse. He tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" It was not Saul's job to offer sacrifice. And you know that in our human thinking, we think, isn't that a good thing to offer sacrifice to the Lord? But he got out of his place. It wasn't his job. Do you know God has His time to do things in our lives? Have you ever had a backup plan? The Lord led you and called you to do something. You knew what God's way was. You knew what God's will was in your life. But you said, "Lord, I've got a deadline." God doesn't handle our deadlines very well. I have found that out. But God will always show up at the right time, folks. And we need to be careful about moving out of order just because I think something needs to be done. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but folks, we need to learn to wait on God tonight. God has a time. And so Saul offered the sacrifice, and Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" Now listen to what Saul had to say about it. It sounds kind of familiar. Saul said, "Because I saw..." Why did you disobey? Why did you do your own way? "Because I saw the people scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed." Samuel, if you would have done your job, if you would have done your job, I wouldn't have been out of order. Have you ever thought that about something? If they would have done what they were supposed to have done, I would have done it like I should have done. He went on to say then, in verse 12, "Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I force myself, therefore." I force myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which He commanded thee." Folks, Saul began to look around at situations, and he began to reason in his own mind. I want us to know tonight that our human reasoning is not going to accomplish God's will for our life. I remember one time I was on the plane, long plane ride, probably 15 hours, and I pulled out a piece of paper, and I'm telling on myself, all right? This is confession time. I pull out a piece of paper and a pen, and I'm someone that likes to be organized, and I like to know what's going to happen tomorrow, and I found in working for God, it doesn't usually happen like I want or like I think. And I wrote down on a piece of paper some of the things I saw that needed to be done, and I began to consider which ones I liked and which ones I didn't. At the end of the day, "Lord, I want Your way. If I don't like it, and it's hard on the flesh, and I don't want to stay here, or I don't want to go there, Lord, I want Your will to be accomplished, because that is the place that we're going to find victory. It's the place we're going to be at peace, in the place of obedience to God." The Lord is not interested in changing His will to make you comfortable. If you will learn to submit your will and your life into the hands of God, folks, you will find that is the most fulfilling place to be. But it's going to take humility. It's going to take us consecrating ourselves to God and saying, "Lord, I don't want my way, but my way, Lord, I want it to be Your way." Too many times we pray for God to bless my way. Well, I'm praying. I'm spiritual. And I've been praying for a month about this. How have you been praying for a month? Lord, would you bless what I'm going to do? Instead of coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, what is your will for my life? Lord, what is your desire? And I'm going to consecrate and lay what I want on the altar that your will would be accomplished in my life. Saul lost his kingdom that day. The Lord, Samuel told him, he said, your kingdom is not going to continue, and I'm going to give it to another. And you read on in the Scripture and you find Saul once again doing things his way instead of God's way. Folks, motives of expediency are never to be compared to the commandments of God. If you know what God's will is for your life, and you know something, it may be the general will of God. You know the Bible gives us the general will of God. It tells us how to live. It tells us how God wants us to conduct ourselves. And then there is a specific will that God has for your life. We should never measure our human thinking and expediency and measure that to the commandments of God. God doesn't work that way. And we can look around and say, I think what needs to be done. You think? What if I think differently? Now what are we going to do? Want to vote on it? Does your vote ever change God's will? Does your vote ever change truth? It doesn't. I don't care how many votes there are. I don't care how backroom meetings we have. Your vote will never change truth. And my desire and my purpose is not to measure to what I think and what I see, but say, Lord, what is your will? What is your truth? And then my prayer is, Lord, help me to submit to it. Lord, help me to humble my heart and acknowledge your way in my life. Consider Solomon this morning, a wise man, but yet so foolish. And some have we ever looked at young people and shaken our head and think, oh, they're just so foolish. Look at the decisions they're making. You know, do you really think as we grow older we're much better? Lord, help us. Solomon, that God had been blessed with so much wisdom, it was expedient to form political alliances with other countries. It made sense. And so he married women from these other countries so that they would be at peace and to form political alliances. In his thinking, it made sense. But he violated the commandment of God when he said, don't marry women of other nations because they were idolaters. That was the reason. It had nothing to do with culture or race. It had to do with this, they are idolaters. And I don't want you to marry an idolater. And so he said, don't marry him. And what happened? In his own wisdom, in his own thinking, he disobeyed God. And the Scripture says, in his old age, remember what it said? His heart was turned away from God because of his wives. In old age, it was because he did it my way instead of God's way. You know what the Lord told us the wicked to do about their way? In the book of Isaiah, in the 55th chapter, Isaiah chapter 55, beginning with verse 7. Let's read verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. In other words, let the wicked put it behind him. Turn away from it. Forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Part of following the Lord tonight, if you have a desire to follow God, we are going to have to come to these places in our life that we forsake my way. And that's not just to the sinner. Is that right? You know how many times I've had to come and say, Lord, no to Michael. No to my way. Lord, yes.
I want your will to be accomplished. Folks, we will not be able to live a successful Christian life with victory and with power and with anointing until we come to a place that we say no to my way. Have you done that in your life? And if you have, do you know that you're going to have to do it some more? It's when we stop doing it. It is a day-by-day thing because there are things vying for our time and our affections. There are things that the enemy is pulling on. And the Lord has a plan for us. God has a plan for your life tonight. But have you said yes to Him? Well, I did 15 years ago. I gave it all to the Lord. If my consecration would have stopped when I made that initial dedication of my life to God, I would not be here tonight. There are so many things in life when God had a plan and my flesh began to struggle with what God wanted in my life. And we have to be willing to say, Lord, yes to You. Yes to God's way and no to my way. It is not always ours to understand. There have been things that God calls for in our life that we don't understand all of the implications all the time. But do you know with time, in a lot of things, you can look back and say, thank You, Lord, I see it now. That means that with the decisions you have to make tonight, are you willing to say yes to God? Are you willing to truly forsake your way? Because you know, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Is your way right in your eyes tonight? I won't despiritualize you if you say yes. The Scripture says that every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But we are not ever, and I want to say not just to the sinner tonight, I want to say to the saints of God tonight, do not measure truth based upon your eyes. Because there are people that get blind. There are people that lose their sight. And when I go, and my mother-in-law and I were talking about the other night, but when I go to another country or I go somewhere else, I'm going to have to get beyond, well, this is what I see, so this is what you need to do. What kind of credibility would someone have from some little country that you've never heard from come among us tonight and tell us, you all need to do this because this is how I see it? The only credibility that we have as ministers of God and as a people tonight is when the authority of truth comes from God's way. Thus says the Word of God. This is why I live like I do. This is why I do this. Because the Bible says to do it. This is God's way tonight. We need to be careful about our own perceptions of things. Be careful about our own conceits. The Scripture says, be not wise in thy own conceits. Folks, God's way is higher than our ways tonight. Would you allow me to go a step further on that thought? Truth has nothing to do with my way. Truth is God's way. So then our desire and our purpose would be, Lord, I want Your way in my life. That people could look on us individually and as a people and say, I see God's way because I look in the Word of God and I see You're living like that. That gives authority to why we do what we do. But we can almost, now if you don't understand this, please pray about it. But consider what I say and the Lord give you understanding. If I take something that I think is truth, and I go and I get together, and let's, we could just call all the ministers. We've got quite a few of them here tonight. And say, let's go in the back room and we're going to vote on what's truth and what's not. And we're going to come out and we're going to tell the congregation we had a vote and this is the result of the vote. And you say, okay, the ministry has spoken. And you begin to live according to the truth that the ministers gave. When someone says, why do you do this? What would your answer be? The minister said. I can give you many groups of ministers who have decided things that are not truth. So the only credibility among us as a people is not what comes from what you think. The only truth is what comes from the Word of God in the basis of how we live in the conduct of our lives far supersedes what any group or body of people have agreed to at some point in time. You understand what I'm saying tonight? I actually can tear down the validity of truth by voting on it. Because then people will look to man rather than acknowledging that is God. But we can do as Joshua did when he said, "Choose you this day whom you'll serve." I want to be standing on God's side. I want to be standing in truth. But what I think about it never changes the reality of truth. I can actually tear down truth by putting the merits on my decision on whether it's right or not. Folks, we need to use the Word of God as our rule of faith tonight. This is God's way. If you want to know what God, how God wants you to live, I have no problem pointing you to His Word tonight. Because there is a way. There is a way that supersedes our way. I think about how there's a song, and I've never heard it sung, but I've heard people talk about it, and I went and I looked it up to see what the looked at the lyrics. Sung by Frank Sinatra many years ago, entitled "My Way." My way. And he went through the song talking about life, and he'd always end with, "I did it my way." How are you living tonight? Do you know it's not just for those that are out in gross, dark sin? Yes, they're doing it their way, folks. There's going to be an accounting for my way. But for those of us that have some truth, for those of us that love God tonight, we can begin to manipulate and transpose our will onto God's. And begin to try to manipulate God's perfect will in our life until we're really not living according to His perfect will. And that's where we need to come and say, "Lord, I want You to adjust my life. I want You to make the changes and reveal to me the things that You want done differently." Because folks, my way won't get you to heaven. But God's way will. You know what? "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Do we think that we are above that Scripture tonight? Because I've been around a while, I've gotten a few gray hairs, does that mean that Scripture doesn't apply to me? It still applies. There's a way that seems right, but the end of our way is always going to lead to death. But may we be a people tonight that say, "Yes, Lord." There's a little song that says, "I'll say yes, Lord, to Your will and to Your way." Are you doing that tonight? Or have you developed a pattern of good works? You understand? A pattern of morality. A pattern of religious service. And you've just developed this little cocoon of security in my goodness. And the Lord's saying, "I have that fire that we talked about the other night. I've got something I want to burn inside of you that you're not doing it because of your own goodness. You're doing it because of the presence of God in your life. Doing the right thing for the right reason. I did it my way." This is what the world is doing tonight. They're doing it their way. Do you know who else is doing it my way? Churches. I don't know how many churches there are in Shawnee. There's a little community close to us, and I think the population, it's 1 to 300. And within a 5-mile radius, I think there's like 11 churches. 11. How many ways does God have tonight? Do we really believe that tonight? Yes, hold on a minute. Whose way is this? Folks, it's God's way. But the reason there are so many churches tonight is because people want to do it their own way.
That's right.
I don't want to be part of that tonight. And I, if we ever start doing it our way, all we become is just another church among churches.
That's right.
But I believe that God has a bride tonight. There is a church. There are people that are humbling themselves. And Lord, I want Your way. And if the Lord shows us something that we're not doing right, His people will say, yes, Lord. I'll change. I'm never going to get into my little cocoon and say, I am rich and increased with goods and I have need of nothing. And all the rest of you are wretched and beggarly. God's true people will be a people that are open to the Spirit of the Lord, dealing in their lives on a daily basis, seeking for God's perfect will in their life. Over in Isaiah in the 4th chapter, it said, in that day, 7 women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by Thy name, to take away our reproach. I believe that, and you can read it on, but you know, I believe we're in a time today where there are so many naming the name of Christ. So many churches, you can call it Church of God. You know there's Church of God sectism. You know how many congregations and people call themselves Church of God? The name doesn't make you Church of God. What makes you Church of God is being washed in the blood of Jesus and allowing God's perfect way in your life. That's what the Church of God is about. But we're living in a time where people are saying, I want to be called by Thy name to take my reproach away. I'm a Christian. And then you can go down the road and you can pick whatever brand you want. Well, I don't agree with them. And there's someone recently, I don't go to church anywhere because they said, Daddy doesn't agree with anybody. So he doesn't go to church anywhere. Folks, what are we looking for? Lord, I want Your way. Amen. I don't want to be one that says, I'm going to wear my own clothes and eat my own food and I'm going to do it my way, but I want to be called by Your name to take my reproach away. Do you think that's possible to happen? Folks, this is rampant in the religious world today. It's rampant. Lord, help me to walk according to Your way, Lord. Help me to humble myself and say no to self. Over in Isaiah 35, you know the passage, you know the Scripture. It said in Isaiah 35 and 8, and a highway shall be there. Do you know what a highway is? It is a place built up. It's something built up. It's above our way. He said there would be a highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Do you know that is God's way tonight? You can argue with me. And you say, well, we're not arguing, we're discussing. We can discuss all of the hot button issues, all of the things that people say, well, is that sin or is that, or can I do that and still be accepted with God? And can I? You know what I'm talking about. There is a way tonight, and God's way is a way of holiness. Holiness means pure. It means undefiled. It means untainted. It's homogeneous. It is the same throughout. That is what holiness is about. That is God's way tonight. And so when we begin to examine our attitudes, the things that we do, the places we go, our conduct, is it holy? You say, well, I don't know God's way. There are some things I'm really not sure about. I find that people that get hung up on things they're not sure about are usually not even doing the things they are sure about. They're just using those other things as an excuse not to do the things that are clear that they know God wants in their life. Have you found that to be a reality? Lord, help it not to be our reality tonight. God's way is a way of holiness. And I want to challenge and encourage us, when you start, and you young people and you children, when you start examining your life and in decisions you're making about where to go and what to do and what kind of activities are all right and which ones aren't and what you can listen to and what mom and dad say, but what's really okay and what, we need to come back down and say, Lord, I want Your way. Amen. I want God's way, and God's way is a holy way. It's pure. It's clean. It's wholesome. It won't build walls between me and God. It won't separate my relationship from God. So if you go somewhere and it's not sin, understand me. And it may not be sin, but every time you go, you just start feeling that spiritual dullness. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You start feeling that spiritual dullness and you just, well, you kind of feel a little bit nervous and you kind of wonder what everybody would think if they saw you there, knew you did that or went there. What? That's the Holy Spirit. And He's wanting to talk to us. He wants us to be living a life of holiness. Because without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. My way won't get me there. Are you listening to the Spirit of God tonight? Have you been listening? And thine ears, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. And when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Folks, the Holy Spirit came to be your guide tonight. The Holy Spirit came to guide, but are we listening tonight? How have you been listening to the checks of the Spirit of God in your life? We're not talking about just big major things. We're talking as well about the little things that affect the quality of our spiritual life. Have you been listening tonight? You know, a lot of people don't want to listen to counsel or advice. But what would you all think of me if I went out to frame a house? Brother Matthew, you probably wouldn't think much of it anyway. Brother Matthew, that's what he does. And he comes along and says, Brother Michael, if you did it this way, it'll be stronger, it'll work, you're going to have some problems. I say, I'm doing it the way I think is good. And I won't listen to him. I'm going to pay a price down the road. Say, well, I'm pouring some concrete, and Brother Steve walks along and says, Brother Michael, probably be good to put some more rebar in that. Oh, no, I'm wanting to do this cheap, and I just need my driveway poured, and this is what I want. It's not going to take long for that thing to crack up, is it? But there are a lot of people, and I'm going to preach where we live tonight. Is that all right? There are a lot of people that are not willing to listen. Not only they won't listen to the Holy Spirit, and they won't listen to anybody else that's been down the road. Amen. Don't tell me, preacher. Don't listen. I'm not going to listen to my parents. Why? They just, you know, they're kind of old and traditionalist, and they just trying to keep me from doing the things that I like to feel a little bit of freedom here, and Mom and Dad just don't understand. I want you young people to know something. We understand. Because we were there too. It's not because we don't understand. And I'm going to go a step further. If you feel like, well, they really don't, because I feel these desires in these pools and it seems like they're just, oh, so spiritual and they just don't really understand. No, we understand because we feel those things too. But we found that there's a way that will keep us out of trouble. And those that have gone the other direction saying, I've got it figured out, I don't need to listen to anybody, we've seen the end result of it. We can spare ourselves a lot of heartache tonight to listen to God's way. And if there are those that have been down the path, listen to them. Take heed to the warning. But most of all, and do you know what it takes to take advice? It takes humility. And I'm seeing there is too much pride in the camp.
Amen.
Too many people are in a place, don't tell me what to do. When you stand before God, folks, I'm not going to be the one to be your judge.
That's right.
The body of ministers is not going to stand there to be your judge. But you're going to be judged by the Word of God, and it's a way of holiness. And the Lord's going to be our judge. There is too much in the camp of the saints, and you consider what I say, there's too much pride. I'm going to do it my way, and the result is a lack of power in people's lives. The result is a lack of anointing. The lack is a lack of consecrated, dedicated service to the work of God. Because I want to do it my way. If you learn to humble ourselves, you will find greater peace and greater victory, and you'll stay out of a lot more trouble.
Amen.
But most of all tonight, I want to challenge and encourage you, listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Say yes tonight.
the Lord has thoughts for you tonight. You know, the way of holiness is for all of us. That is the general will of God. That is God's way for all of us. There are no exceptions. We can do as Saul and we can start justifying and rationalizing and making excuses or looking around saying, well, I'm doing just as good or better than everybody else is. Or everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is going there. Everybody else is listening. What does that have to do with it? This is about your relationship with God. And He's called us to holiness. But it also, God has a specific will for your life. And there are things that the Lord is going to come your way and He's going to tap you on the shoulder. He said, there's something I want you to do for me. Amen. What are we going to do? Are we going to say, Lord, as Moses, Lord, I can't do that. You need to go talk to brother so-and-so. You need to go talk to her. Or are we going to say, Lord, I feel incapable and I'm kind of fearful of that. But if this is your will, I know that you'll see me through and I'm going to say yes. Has the Lord, I believe tonight that there are some people here that God has been talking to. Amen. And I know what it's like to struggle with my way versus God's way. And you know what it's easy to do? You can drown out God's way by doing good things. Did you get that? I'm not just talking about going sinning. You can wrestle with things when the Lord says, I want you to give this thing up. And you know the Lord's talked to you about it. But you just kind of want to put some distance and you really don't want to give it up. But you don't want to just tell God no. I mean, how many of us are going to really look at God and say no? We know better than that. And so what people tend to do is we try to just put some distance between us and that still small voice and try to get busy doing other things that we don't mind doing for God and other things. And all the time the Lord's saying, I want you to give that up. I want you to make some change in your life right here. Or there's some work that I want you to do. There's that Sunday school class that's been suffering because they need a Sunday school teacher. There's someone over here, there's a work over here that I want you to do, and we just try to get busy. Oh yes, and then we move right on without just stopping and saying, Lord, by your help, I'm going to say yes and I'm going to do it. Jesus found himself, and we won't take the time to read it, you know the passage of Scripture. When Jesus was in the garden, he prayed because he found himself in a conflict between my way and God's way. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Yeah. Lord, I don't want to do this. He was speaking of his flesh, his spirit did. But his flesh was drawing away from the cross. And he was in agony. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Are you willing to make that kind of consecration to God tonight? There's a way of holiness, and then there's those individual personal things that the Lord is calling for us as a people, that we would be in the center of His will. And it's not always easy, because there is a death. There's a consecration. There are some things that we have to give up. There's a cross involved. But do you know what the result of the cross of Christ was? There was salvation that came from it. There was a resurrection. Yeah. Tonight, if you want to have that kind of joy, you want a resurrection. You want a newness in your spirit. You want a renewed purpose, a renewed zeal. It's going to only come by way of the cross. And that is a place where there's that struggling to where you also say, Lord, not my will. If it's possible, Lord, would you let me have my way? But if it's not, thy will be done, Lord. Has the Lord been talking to y'all? Is there anybody here tonight that over the last week, the last month, the Lord's come along and let you know there are some things He was calling of you I want to encourage you not to put God off, because He might just listen to you and quit dealing with you. And then you'll never find that place of just real peace and security being in God's will. If the Lord talked to you tonight, I want to encourage you to come and pray. Say yes tonight, and the Lord will be there to give you the strength and the grace and the courage to be able to pick up your cross. And I will tell you this, according to the Word of God, you will find there's no greater peace and no greater victory than in dying out to self and saying yes to the Lord. Amen.